Psalm 130 and verse number 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let Thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If Thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His Word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. And let's pray. Father, thank You again for Your Word this morning. What a wonderful book You've given us. Lord, what a wonderful truth that we can build our lives upon. Please, Lord, help me this morning as I preach. Lord, give us clear minds. Help us to focus and thank You. Thank You. Thank You for Your wonderful salvation. Help us to learn about it and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. Psalm 120 and Psalm 134, 14 Psalms, are called the Ascension Psalms. And Jerusalem is the highest point in the land. And so anybody who takes a journey from any direction to Jerusalem goes up. And so as they would take the journey to the three feasts during the year that were in Jerusalem, there were three times a year that they would come from all over Israel and they would ascend up to Jerusalem and they would sing these psalms, Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. So these are called Ascension Psalms. No problem. A little bit background about around this. As you read this psalm and you look at verse number 3, it seems like man has no hope. He's just presenting a question before he gives the wonderful answer. But if, look at Psalm 130 verse 3, if Thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? In other words, if God took a checklist and every time you blew it, Lord, if You marked all of my sins, I don't have a chance. Who could stand before God? Later on in the Psalms, it's going to say, Lord, forgive Thou me of secret faults. And that's not talking about sins You did secretly. That's talking about sins, things You have wrong with You that God hasn't even showed You yet. We sin against God without even knowing. God says we're sinners, we're impure. And He says here, and I just love looking at this, Lord, if You marked iniquity, if You marked every time I failed You, I wouldn't have a chance. I wouldn't have a chance. And then look at verse 4, but there is forgiveness with Thee. Aren't you glad? There is forgiveness. And yes, God, if you're not careful, the world has this picture of God that He has this hammer and He's waiting for you to blow it. And the moment you do, stop that. Ha, got you again. I find a God that's very merciful in the Bible who doesn't mark our sins and hold. God saved me because He knew I was a sinner, not because I was perfect. And so I find a very loving God when I read the Bible. I praise the Lord for verse number 4. As God's creation, you see, He gave us a conscience to tell us that we have offended God. I was born with that conscience. You were born with a conscience. John 16 also says the Holy Spirit of God convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So you have the conscience and you have the Holy Ghost that convicts man of sin. God says if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His Word is not in us. I don't think there's anybody here this morning that would say, I have not sinned. But God says, just in case you're tempted to think, God says we make God a liar if we say that we haven't sinned. The Creator Jehovah God is not only terrible though in His power, He's also tender. And that verse, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. What does the word forgiveness mean? The word forgive, it means to send away. The word forgive, it means to completely cancel. It's like the word, and we won't look at it this morning, but I put Deuteronomy 15:2 down. It's called the Lord's release. What a phrase. What a way to put it. It's God's release. In the Bible, there's a picture of the scapegoat, and the priest would slay one goat and then lay his hand on the other goat, offered, lay his hands on the other goat. That's where we get the word scapegoat. He'd confess the sins of Israel, and then they would send it into the wilderness to never return. And that was a picture of forgiveness. To be sent away. To be cast away or released forever. You see, as I look at this verse, I know the introduction is going to be long this morning, before, and the truth is small but major, but I wanted to draw a picture for you this morning. First of all, there's forgiveness with God no matter what your sins may have ever been. No matter what your sins may have been. You can take God at His word no matter how sinful and filthy your life has ever been up until now. Praise God, there is forgiveness with God, and I love this, even for you. Because that's, as I talk with people and knock on doors, every once in a while you'll meet somebody, I can't go to heaven. I'm too much of a sinner. There's forgiveness for everybody if you're still alive. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, think about it, all creation fell and mankind was drowned in that great river of iniquity. You could say that this was the mother sin from which all of our other sins have ever come from. And what did God Almighty do when Adam and Eve sinned? Did He raise His hand and smite them? Did He send them immediately to hell? He gave them the first promise that God ever gives in His Word, Genesis 3:15. The foot of the woman's seed, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, shall bruise the head of the serpent. God corrected them. In other words, in one promise, God would provide the deliverer who would destroy the tempter. God Almighty drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden after they sinned, but He didn't drive them to hell. He banished them from paradise, but He didn't throw them into the flames of hell. That fact alone should show us that there's forgiveness with God. When they blew it, they were cast out, but they weren't cast to hell. You see, God is just, and blood must be shed. 4,000 years of offering lambs and bullocks on blood-stained altars taught every person that God would one day come and provide Himself a lamb. Yes, God is just and blood must be shed. That's how come when people say, well, I go to church, well, I've been baptized, well, I give money to the church and I help poor people and I feed the hungry. Where is the blood? There's no blood in your works. Yeah, but you don't understand. I haven't killed anybody and I haven't robbed a bank and I haven't done this. Where is the blood? You have to have blood to pay for your sin. And either you provide it or God's Son provide it, but to pay for your sin, blood has to be shed. Blood has to be shed. Yes, God is just and blood must be shed. But God is gracious and accepts a substitute so that the sinner may go free. God has never forgiven a sin that wasn't paid for. That's why when I get scared, when I ask somebody, how do you know you're going to heaven? And then they say this, well, I've asked God for forgiveness. That person isn't saved. Well, yeah, but are you saved? I ask God for forgiveness every day. That doesn't save you. Your sin can only be forgiven if it's paid for. And unless you ask Jesus to save you, you can ask forgiveness all you want. But that sin, your sins have to be paid for. Well, I ask God for forgiveness and they're sincere and they're really thinking that that's going to earn them their way to heaven. But that yet God has never forgiven a sin that wasn't paid for. It's very important that you understand that because that's the language of the day. You see, because God has found a ransom and a sacrifice for sin, He can and He will pardon sin. To make this clear, Acts 17:30 says this, the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. God wouldn't give us His book and send us as Christians to a lost and dying world to tell sinners about the wrath to come and how they can be forgiven of their sins if they just put their trust in the Lord Jesus and His shed blood, if there wasn't forgiveness. God wouldn't command us to go tell them to get saved if there wasn't forgiveness available. No, I know there's forgiveness. You see, God commands us to go soul winning and tell others how to be saved because He's willing to save and forgive. We know there's forgiveness available because our Lord commands us to pray for forgiveness after we're saved. God would give it because He tells us to ask for it. Lord, please forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Right? So we're commanded to pray, Lord, please forgive. That's after you get saved. Confession of sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. Forgive us our sins. You see, what we're getting ready to celebrate at Christmas is proof that there's forgiveness. God incarnate. God putting on flesh and coming down to us. God came down to earth and was born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life and never sinned. Jesus Christ came to bear the sins of all mankind. And when they came for Him in the garden, His head and His hair and His garments were already saturated with blood before they ever hit Him one time or drove one nail. That's what it says. As He prayed in the garden, He sweat great drops of blood. So as they came to get Him up the hill in Gethsemane, His clothes were already drenched in blood. And I just think it's absolutely amazing. Judas kissed that blood. Betrayed Him with a kiss. The one I kiss is the one you're supposed to take. And His lips actually touched the blood that could redeem Him. But He's in hell today. He's in hell today. That's absolutely amazing. They then drug Him away and they falsely charged Him with crimes that He never knew and they lied about Him. They then tied Him to a pillar and lashed Him with a Roman scourge. They stretched Him upon a cross and nailed His hands and feet. In the excruciating pain, He cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He cried, it is finished. He suffered, He died, and He rose again. And now He lives to make intercession for us. When God tells us in Isaiah 53, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone from it to His own way. The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. No, there's forgiveness with God. We know. Look, three words this morning. Can you just think with me? Three words prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that there's forgiveness. They all start with a G. Are you ready? Gethsemane. Gabbatha. And Golgotha. Gethsemane is where He prayed. Gabbatha is the judgment hall where they held the kangaroo court and lied about Him. All the time smiting Him and hitting Him. And then Golgotha. Three words prove that there is forgiveness with Thee that Thou mayest be feared. I'm so glad God forgives. And if you're saved this morning, you should enjoy being forgiven. You should enjoy the fact that He took your filth upon Himself and He was cursed in your place and He died for me. He died for me. You see, we know that no sin can enter into heaven. That's why your sins have been paid for. That's why you trust Jesus so you can go to heaven, so your sins can be paid for and you can go to heaven. In Revelation 21 it says, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, only they can enter into heaven. We know that God forgives because those in heaven before the throne sing, we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the song they sing. Yes, in heaven they're forgiven. They sing about being forgiven. Ephesians 1:7 means so much to me as a Christian, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. There are many things you can be unsure of, but forgiveness isn't one of them. I don't know everything about heaven. I know we're going to get new bodies. There's a lot of things that I know that's going to happen, but it's kind of vague and I see through a glass darkly and smoke and I don't know all the details, but one thing I know for sure is that I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven because I'm saved. I wanted you to enjoy that thought this morning. You see, salvation is something that you never have to doubt. When I read John 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:12. It's such a sweet peace to know that I'm pardoned, I'm forgiven, I stand clean. Do I know of my failures? Yes. Do I still sin? Yes. But I stand this morning before my Heavenly Father, a white vessel, as clean as His Son. And if you're saved, so do you. So do you. You say, where are you going with this, preacher? Laying a little bit of groundwork. Our text this morning, Psalm 130. If Thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. I love this thought. No matter what your sins are, there's forgiveness for you. If you've never been in church before, there's forgiveness for you. If you don't know much about the Bible, there's forgiveness for you. If you've said things to God that were awful and dared Him to damn your soul, there is still forgiveness for you. Aren't you glad? If you've mistreated your family, there's forgiveness for you. You see, Satan wants you to feel cast out and rejected by God, but there is forgiveness for you. If you've done things that you could never speak out loud about, there's forgiveness for you. A woman can be a harlot and a man can be a hardened thief, and there is forgiveness for you. Second, this morning, God's forgiveness is perfect and complete. God doesn't forgive a few sins or most of your sins, but when He saves you, He forgives you of every sin. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. You see, you're eternally pardoned. He forgives every sin. When God saves you, all the sins of your past and all the sins of your future are gone, never to be laid to your charge again. God's forgiveness is complete. God never says, I forgive you, but. There's no buts with God's forgiveness. Isn't that wonderful? God never says, well, I forgive you, but. I rejoiced with that. Think about it. God didn't forgive the fallen angels that were greater in power than you and I. The fallen angels are in hell. They would have gladly accepted God's forgiveness, but it was never offered to the angels that fell from heaven. It was sent to you and I. The Creator that you offended and wronged, Him whose book you've despised and laughed at, as preachers, God says, there is forgiveness. You see, notice this. There is no other way of being forgiven other than trusting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It's not all roads lead to heaven, and if you're sincere and if you mean it enough, then if you're devoted enough in whatever religion you are, then you'll eventually make it to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. There is no other way. You see, I'm not a bigot. I'm not prejudiced. I'm just being truthful this morning and I'm declaring the Word of God. There is no other way to be forgiven of your sin except through the blood of Jesus. The moment you trust Christ, you're forgiven. You're an accepted child of God. Psalm 130. There is forgiveness with thee. Third thing I want to tell you. This is all introduction, so and you're listening. But the only men who ever fear God, you know, it says there in Psalm 130 verse 4, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. That thou mayest be feared. Think just for a second. Only sinners that accept His pardon fear God. Do you want to find a warm-hearted woman who really loves Jesus? You'll find her breaking the alabaster box of ointment and anointing the Savior's head. Do you know why? Because He cast demons out of her. And she never forgot what she was. People who have been forgiven of their sin are those that fear God. are those that fear God. You see, if you want to find a man preaching Christ's word with tears streaming down his face, you'll find him taken from among those who were once foul. When God wanted a man to write the next best book in the world next to the Bible, the second most read book in the world, Pilgrim's Progress, he didn't find that man in a palace, but he found a swearing tinker who spent his time as a thief on Sunday because he knew people were in church, so he spent his youth going to people's houses on Sunday and robbing their homes. And then one day, God got a hold of that man. He convicted his heart, saved his soul, made him a new man in Christ, and John Bunyan, the master dreamer, was used to give us Pilgrim's Progress, the second most read book in the world next to the Word of God. I'm just saying this morning, only sinners that accept salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ fear Him. Those that fear God are either those that were outwardly great sinners before they got saved, or there are saved sinners who never get over the fact that God could love someone like them. You see, you aren't ready to deal with other people and testify of your salvation unless you're glad you're forgiven. I'm so glad I can't lose my salvation. I'm so glad I'm not saved, lost, saved, lost. I'm so glad that once you get saved, you're always saved. If you doubted your salvation and if you're not sure you're saved, why would you tell somebody else about it? Here, if you trust Jesus, you can go to heaven today. I don't know about tomorrow, but hey, you can at least do it today. Might die today. Wouldn't that be great? You know, what a depressing mess. I'm so glad once you get saved, you're always saved and you're eternally saved. But you know what? You know when you tell people about the Lord? When you're glad you're forgiven. When you can't just imagine that God would erase the slate clean and you stand clean. You got to tell somebody. And you're glad to share and give the gospel. Man, what the harlot in John 4 say? She went into all of her customers, all this harlot did, and said, come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. This is the Messiah. You got to come and see him. And she brought the whole city to God. See, only sinners that are saved and forgiven fear God. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Now, I realize, and I'm preaching this morning, a sermon on forgiveness to a group of people who I believe mostly have experienced it. If you're here this morning and you're doubting your salvation, my goodness, it's free, it's wonderful, it's easy to solve, praise God. But I know that. If you're, okay, I wanted to end with this. Please take your Bible now and go to Ephesians. We're going to go to two places. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go from Psalm 130 and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Psalm 130 to Ephesians chapter 4. That's in the New Testament. Look at the last two verses there. 30, 31, and 32. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. I wanted you to see this. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I'm in Ephesians 4:32 now. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you preacher, if you teach me about salvation and being forgiven, what is the practical app? Well, one, I hope you're glad you're saved. But how can you forgive somebody that wrongs you if you aren't mindful of how you've been forgiven? Because God says, forgive each other like I've been forgiven. Remember the part I told you? God never says, well, I'll forgive you, but. God never said that to me, but I've heard Christians say that to other people. Okay, you wronged me, and I'll forgive you this time. And they're asking for forgiveness. Okay, well, I'll forgive you, but God doesn't do that. And unless you understand your forgiveness and rejoice that you're forgiven, you don't forgive. And guess what happens if you don't forgive? Verse 31 starts it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger... What is bitterness? Bitterness is postponed no forgiveness. It starts out with holding a grudge. Okay, it goes before that. It starts out with getting angry because you got mistreated, and I think all of us do that. Then it goes to holding a grudge, and you know you ought to forgive, but you don't. Then it turns into bitterness. And bitterness, Hebrews says, defiles many. You cannot, as a Christian, not forgive other people. Let me just put it to you this way. There's not supposed to be anybody you hate. There's people I disagree with strongly, vehemently, and I don't hate them. There's nobody that I hate. You're not allowed to hate as a Christian. You're allowed to disagree. You're allowed to oppose. But you are not allowed to hate. If you hate, guess who gets destroyed? You do. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake forgave you. So just like I am forgiven, the practical app is, after I rejoice in being saved, I'm supposed to forgive others that way. I had somebody a couple of months ago, they came to see me and probably it hurt me the deepest that I probably have ever been hurt. If it wasn't, it was close to it. Just came out of the blue and just said, you don't have to say anything. I just want to say I'm sorry. And I said, I forgave you a long time ago. I don't hold a grudge. As a matter of fact, if there's anything I can ever do for you, I'll do it. If you ever need anything from me, you let me know. But I don't hate you, and I forgive you. You say, how could you do that? God forgave me. And He never treated me like I treated God. And yeah, it was painful. But you forgive others when you keep in mind how forgiven you are. And you don't hold grudges. Watch this. If we're around each other enough, we're going to fail each other. We're going to make each other mad. We're going to disappoint each other. How do you handle that? I can tell you how some people handle it. Well, fine, I'm just never going to church again. Well, that proved to the whole world, wow, what a winner. Stupid decision, I think, but that's a wrong answer. Forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I didn't say it was easy. The hardest things in the Christian life start with a letter F. Faith, trust in God, because that's hard. And forgiveness when somebody hurts you. And you can't do that without realizing what God's done for you. And Christian, this morning, let's go to one more place. One more place. I'm watching the clock. Go to Matthew 18. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Verse 21. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to read this real quick, but you got to understand, remember, we're in the parables here, and we're learning those in Sunday school. And there's always, normally, there's some outside stimulus that is leading the Savior to speak a parable, and it always helps you to understand what's going on. I'm just going to start reading. Watch this. Look at verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Aha! See, I found in the Bible it's 490 times. It's 488. You got two more times, and then after that, I'm not forgiving you anymore. That is not what he was saying. Hopefully somewhere around 50 or 70 you lose track. Right? But you're not supposed to strike 490, you're out of here. Keep on reading. Keep on reading. Watch this. So Jesus is now going to teach this parable. Is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants, and when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. It doesn't say talents of gold or silver, it just says 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That's a picture of you and me getting saved. Christ paid a debt, did not owe. Christ paid a debt, he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin away. So, I owed a debt I couldn't pay. And it was going to cost me my eternity. And the Lord had compassion on me and saved me, just like He did you. So that's the first one. Now watch. Then, it says here, verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. If four pence makes a penny, which is there, you could disagree. This is a quarter. Do you understand? Owed him a quarter. He owed 10,000 talents, but this one, his fellow servant, owed 100 pence. Owed him 25 cents, if you will, in modern day money. Then he says, laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Verse 29. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying the exact same thing he did. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, let's review this real close. So I, as a Christian, get forgiven a debt I couldn't pay. Then I find one of my fellow servants, another Christian, that owes me much less than I owed God that He forgave me of. And I get angry with them, and in my head, I may not back them up against a wall and take them by the throat, but in my head I'm doing all that. Pay what you owe. And then when it says when the other Christians saw how one Christian was treating another Christian, right? Look what it says. It says, his fellow servants saw what was done. They were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Isn't it sad to see two Christians fight? It disturbs all of us when you watch one Christian not forgive another, when they were forgiven much more. It's like, have you forgot? Then watch what happens. Then his Lord, verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. I have that underlined in my Bible, delivered him to the tormentors. Guess what happens spiritually when you and I don't forgive? We're tormented with bitterness. Can't sleep well. The person you hate's in every bite you eat, and in every drink that you swallow, they're in everything that you look at. One of these days, I'm going to get even with them. And you're tormented every day. Christian, here, I mark down in my Bible, verse number 35, watch this. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. You say, okay, I get it, preacher. So I'm supposed to only forgive Christians. You've missed the whole thing. There's lost family members that can sometimes know that you're saved, know you're going to church, and they know what gets your goat. This is talking about lost or... I'll say it again. You're not supposed to hate anybody. Or it will destroy you. And you can only forgive others. That's why I started the sermon the way I did. If you're glad, you're forgiven. And I didn't say it was easy to forgive. But how do you forgive someone that hurts you and costs you and takes years off of your life? You go back to the day you were forgiven. And if you don't forgive, then God says you... It's not... Okay, if I read you a verse, we're almost done. Matthew 6 says this, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's not saying, okay, if I don't forgive, God doesn't forgive me, or God takes back His forgiveness that He gave me. It's out. No, that's not talking about that. I will tell you what it's telling you. If you don't forgive, you don't enjoy being forgiven. And your Christian life gets dull. It gets dry because you held a grudge and you decided it's okay to hate. And you justified it because of the pain you went through. And I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say it was a hard journey. But Christian, you have to forgive. But I couldn't start the sermon that way this morning because everybody would agree with me. Oh yeah, you got to. No. Where we went this morning was Psalm 130. Lord, if you marked my iniquities, I don't stand a chance. I don't have a chance. Because I fail you every day. I got things wrong with me that you haven't even showed me yet. What a God. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your precious blood. And from that ground, you go into your mistreatments. And you go back to when you were forgiven. And that is how you forgive. Forgiving as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This morning's title of the sermon is called Forgiveness and Freedom. I'm getting ready to be around family, and I like this time of year. I do. I like it. But whether they're saved or lost, you cannot hate them. I can disagree. I can oppose. I can stand against, but I cannot, in my heart, hate. It will kill your Christianity. It makes for unhealthy Christians. Every time I find it, that it's justified. Let's pray. Father, please use this truth this morning.